I'm only half the pastor I used to be without Cheryl Hendrickson around. And I have all kinds of excuses in my life, but we kind of didn't do a real good job of making sure that this day was taken care of because I was out of town for 2 weeks. I was out at Lutty running the last few camps for the last 3 weeks before that. I don't know if you know it or not, but October's done. And I don't know where it went. But I truly do thank these families for having patience with kind of a slow pastor. And I also thank my daughter. I shouldn't say she's my daughter, but she's my daughter today. My office administrator for putting up with me and getting this taken care of. She did a lot of work into it because she didn't know anything about it. With that being said, greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this All Saints Sunday will be taken from James, as I had committed to going through the entire book of James. And I would like to just have somebody else come up here today. And I will go sit down because I fail at this. This chapter nails me to the ground. But I have a victorious Christ who lifts me up. So I thank God for that. So I know you never have a problem with taming your tongue, but I have failed more than twice. With that being said, we're going to read James chapter 3. We're going to read the entire chapter, reading in Jesus' name. You can remain seated for this as it is a teaching text. And even if we wonder about that, when Jesus took the role of teaching, the people sat down. James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so they do obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among the members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile or sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It all restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse the people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes out blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh water and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder and envy, vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us. I don't like it, but it's true. So, Father, we ask that you would allow us not to hear from men and flesh, but rather be encouraged by your word. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. My statement of I don't like it could probably irritate some people. Because we don't like to hear the truth. There are things that do affect us and cause us difficulty. The word of God is not always going to go down just like sweet honey. There is a lot of beautiful places and there's a lot of wonderful things that actually are very beneficial and encouraging for us. There's no doubt about it. But there are some things that are hard to swallow. There are some corrections that are brought to our attention that maybe we don't want to hear. And this is the key that I'm trying to say to you. It's not man bringing a correction when it comes forth from the word of God. It is his word. I was speaking to the children this morning in Sunday school, and I talked about 2 Timothy, how it talks about the word of God is very powerful, has many different abilities to bring reproof and correction. It can bring encouragement. It can bring peace. It can bring love. It can bring repentance, restoration. And I actually brought them a little, you know, pocket tool that I got with one of my electric bikes that I bought. And it has many different functions. Not every tool is the same. You can't go and do a job. You know, Rosalio Holmes doesn't just have one screw gun and that's it. They got trailers full of tools. Because there's many different tools that need to be utilized to be able to get the job done. God wrote his word by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that we would have a toolbox full of tools that we in reality could utilize in our lives to bring us encouragement, to bring us correction, to bring us the promise of hope, to bring us love, to bring us restoration. And to be able just to say, I don't want to read James because it just kind of irritates me. That's probably not the healthiest. He's taking on something very powerful. He's taking on this thing, the tongue, as we call it. Because this thing can often get us in trouble. I don't know if you've ever gotten in trouble with something you said. I'm sure you probably haven't. But I'm going to preach this message at least for me. Because I have. You know, I'll look at like a bulletin and I'll read a bulletin and then I'll make a snide comment about it instead of actually talking to Cheryl or Tia. That's wrong. I'll think I'm being funny because I don't know what else to do and I'm saying I'm exposing my humanness. And so I'll use humor to cover it up and maybe you won't take it as humorous. So we may not intentionally even be going out there to insult somebody, but we are the body of Christ. And we are to treat each other with love, respect, and in the word. But also there are places in this world we have to preach against sin. We have to preach against difficulty. And this is what the opening of James really brings to us. He says, not many of you should desire or you should all be running out to be teachers. There's an order to this. God calls. He says, and it's not just an easy thing. Now you may think, well, you're just being silly or the word's not being accurate. If I say something wrong up here, how many people are listening to me? At least half of you. And you'll tell me about it, which is fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But I love it when we act like that, you know, well, it's not difficult to do that. No, everything you're saying is not only here, it's online, it's everywhere. And people will hold you to task for that. But there's something more serious. A lot more serious. Preaching the word of God, in reality, God holds you accountable that you preach the truth. And there are some places that are very uncomfortable for us. How do you preach about marriage and divorce? Truth. How do you preach about homosexuality? Truth. How do you preach about all the stuff going on in the world around us? Truth. And it's not always easy, because the problem is not with God's word, it is with our understanding of truth. And we're gauged by hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Have mercy. Have understanding. And Jesse has to come back to the point of saying, I'm not God. I'm not the truth. His word is truth. So he says, understand. This is not a light calling, brothers. And he's speaking to all of us. And you might think, oh, Jesse's just trying to defend his position. Do what you want with that. Sunday school teachers, board members, Bible study leaders, we're all held to this truth. For you know that what we teach will be judged with a greater strictness, because we are called to do this. It's not a light position. We're pretty quick to be hard on another pastor. Let's take the attention off of me. But oftentimes, it's not an easy place to be. And so James is trying to bring that out, because he's going to talk about something that's going to ruffle some feathers. See, you understand this. He's saying, I don't really want to do this, but I have a responsibility. He says, we all stumble. Every one of us stumbles in many ways. And if anyone doesn't stumble in what he speaks about, I want to meet the man. That's what I'd say, because he's perfect. You guys have been around me for at least 13 years. You know that I'm not perfect. I stumble. I've messed up. I've had to ask forgiveness from many of you, because my human nature gets in the way. He says, we're all going to do it. He says, and if you don't think you stumble, maybe you're blind or you're just a perfect man. He says, but actually, if you're not stumbling, it's because you have the ability to bridle, really, your whole body. Contain yourself. He gives us a description. Horses are a big animal. I mean, they can weigh up to a couple thousand pounds. Very large animal. Very intimidating. I don't know if you've ever worked around them. I have a neighbor that has asked me before, and I haven't done it for years, but to feed her horses for her. I remember the first time I encountered a horse. My mom had two horses, Buster and Beauty. Remember? And anyways, Buster was a big black horse, and I guess I didn't realize I was only probably about 6-7 years old. If you run, that horse will chase you. Well, you're 6-7 years old in a field, and that horse starts running at you. What are you going to do? Run. My dad kept yelling, stop! I wasn't stopping. That thing was going to run me over. Finally, I was so exhausted. I still remember this, a big rock pile, unless I'm dreaming, Lance. There was a big rock pile in the center of that field. And I basically fell down in front of that rock pile. And I thought for sure I was going to die. And Big Buster came up to me and just sniffed me. My mom and dad, or whoever, had trained that horse to respect people. But to a young little boy, it was intimidating to look at a big, huge black horse chasing you down. He says, if we put bits in the mouth of the horses, they obey us. He says, you know, if we can control that, he says, we can control the whole body. We can get that horse to do whatever it needs to do. There's discipline in this. There's teaching in this. He's saying, if we could, but yet ask God to allow our mouths to be controlled. I'm going to give you the old saying again. We have the ability as human beings, but we don't use it all the time. I don't use it all the time. To respond rather than to react. We can choose to respond to situations. I guarantee you right now, if I was up here and something fell off that ceiling and hit my hand and smashed it, I probably wouldn't say a cuss word. Probably wouldn't. I'm not guaranteeing. I'm human. But if I was by myself, I bet the probability goes down a lot more. What I'm saying is, in the environment we're in, we can choose to respond rather than react. We're not animals. If you're in a rocking chair and the cat's tail is underneath that rocking chair, but it's opposite of the direction of the rocker, but all of a sudden something goes off and you actually get the cat's tail under the rocker, what's going to happen? That cat's going to go nuts. It's going to scrape, scream, howl, and run. They react. I can smash my finger in front of my father-in-law and choose to respond. You can too. This is the Spirit of God that can bridle our tongue. You know you can do it. Your wife says something to you and you react. But you own a good business and a customer says something outlandish to you and somehow you respond. There is a difference. And there is a difference in the ministry. There's a difference in the church. There's a difference from communicant member to communicant member. There's a difference that we can learn to respond. Sometimes we say things without thinking. That's why he says we stumble in many ways. It's going to happen. But we can seek from God the Father through Christ Jesus to help us to respond to situations rather than react. And I have to admit, in my flesh, I fail a lot. I don't know about you. He says, look to the ships. We got these huge ships. You got these iron ore ships. You got all these things in the modern age we live in. And they got thousands of horsepower pushing this thing. It's huge. Some of these things can be 1,000 feet long. My wife and I were watching them in Duluth. Huge. In comparison, the rudder is small. And that's what he's saying here. He says, we have these abilities. He says, look to the ships also. They are large. They're driven by strong winds or huge diesel motors these days. He says, and they're guided by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot directs them. Who's the pilot of our life? God the Father, through Christ Jesus. He's calling on us to bring these things into submission, not by our own strength, not by our own ability. We're going to get to that. He's going to actually talk about it. We of ourselves cannot do this. But he can. He says, so also the tongue is a small member. And boy, does it boast big things, doesn't it? You want to see this? Turn on CNN or Fox. You'll see all kinds of people boasting all kinds of big things. You know? And so you turn around and you see this. He says, it boasts of all things. But man, what a fire it can cause. What devastation. What is the benefit of that? If we're just speaking to be heard, if we're just speaking to impress people, what is that doing? If our opinion is the only one that matters, what good is this? He says, man, you're going to cause quite a great fire. The tongue is such a small member, but yet it boasts of such great things. How great of a forest fire it sets. And we know that, right? You could probably talk to people in California and they realize one lightning strike, which encompasses a little small spot in the ground. What a massive fire that it created. Our answer is not going to come from politics. Listen to those talking heads. Our answer is not going to come from human beings and their own infinite wisdom and their own understanding. Where does the wisdom come from? But through the Word of God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, that we would read it, that we would receive it, and that we all could receive it and respond in it, not react. He says, the tongue is a fire. He says, a world of unrighteousness. Actually, it's from what comes out of a man that corrupts a man, not what enters in, the scripture says very plainly. It says very plainly, he says, you know, the tongue is set among our members, really, and it can stain the whole body. Have you ever said something that you wish you didn't? I know I have. And you can't take it back. Now, there's forgiveness, and we need to acknowledge when we've done something like that and actually speak to the person. But there's an inner desire that we could take it back. At least for me, there is. I wish I could go back. brothers and sisters in Christ, not only with one another, but in your marriage, and I need this too. You can't take it back. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is the biggest lie in the world. It's a lie. It hurts. It goes in one ear and out the other. It's a bunch of garbage. It goes in one ear and rattles around in there, and maybe enough nice things will make it settle down, and then all of a sudden your spouse or your friend says something negative to you again, and everything else starts spinning again. You hear it again. Words have power. I want you to think about this. Words have power. They have so much power. When God spoke, He created everything. We can find it in Genesis. We have the ability as Christians to enter into this world and bring people to life with the hope of the gospel and the good news. And we also have the ability by false religion and negativity to tear them down to the ground where they don't even want to hear. Words have power. This is what James is trying to bring to us. It's not a game. It's real. He says this thing, this little member can just cause a stain in the whole body. But let's not leave it there. Though I was crimson, what does Christ Jesus do? Makes me white as snow. Christ is the answer. His word is the answer, not my words. Speak in love. Speak in truth. Speak with the scriptures. Speak by the Spirit. He says, because when we do it, it stains the whole body. Basically, it causes the whole world to go in chaos. You see somebody on there, one of the talking heads get on there and say something, and the whole world starts spinning. People are going nuts. Next thing you know, people that didn't care about a subject now hate their neighbors because of the subject. Think about that. That's the silliness of it all. And so he turns and he says very plainly, you know, he says, basically through this, the whole course of hell is set on fire for this. Every kind of beast, every kind of reptile, everything has been tamed by mankind. That's kind of how we are, right? We have successes everywhere else. But we can't take care of our own issue. And we can't. That's what this word is going to tell us. Every kind of beast, every kind of bird, every kind of reptile, every sea creature, we see them, you know, Shamu is doing whatever we want them to do. It can be tamed. Verse 8, but no human being can tame the tongue. We can't do it. That doesn't mean we're off the hook. We need to look to the one who can. We look to Christ Jesus. Matthew 12:36, Christ says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account to every careless word they speak. If I did not have the blood of Christ in my life, I'm cooked. I'm cooked. For by your words will you be justified. How am I justified? In confessing Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. In confessing that I do not have the ability. We often think we're so knowledgeable. Do we not read the scripture? Our brightest moment is foolishness to God. We need to look to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. He said, by your words, you will be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. How do they know you are my disciples? What does the scripture say? By how you backtalk everybody? How you disrespect? He actually says, they will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. Love will come in forms. There's truth. There's care. There's passion. There's a lot of things. But it's not for self. Love is surrendering. And so he turns and he says, no human being can do this. David knew it. So where did he turn? The apple of God's eye. Psalm 141, what does he say? Oh Lord, set guard my mouth. Set a guard my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. When's the last time I've prayed that? Maybe not exactly those words, so I'd say never. But more times we have to pray, Lord, help us. Help us guard how we respond rather than react. Help us love unconditionally. Help us encourage in a tough situation, whether it's our children, whether it's our wives, whether it's someone in the world, whether it's someone in the church. Help us. He says, because in the human understanding, we can't do it. In the human understanding, we bless our Father and then curse people. And they're all made in the likeness of God. It doesn't mean we condone sin. We preach truth. Because we love them, we preach the truth. That is not healthy. This is not healthy. This is not good. This is what God desires for you. This is restoration. This is peace. There are things we will speak, but how do we speak them? In love and encouragement. Because in our fallen nature, we bless the Lord our Father, and we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes out blessing and cursing. This shouldn't be. This is what he's saying. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. When we're going into that other side of the negative, reacting, cursing, whatever it may be, we're often doing it in our flesh. Father, forgive me. Father, guide my words. In this situation, Lord, help me that I could respond in a way that they would hear me and not in a reaction that will cut off ears. When I was growing up, I was around a lot of religious people. I was. We didn't go to church much. I didn't like the religious people. It really struck me not long ago. I never really heard about Jesus and his love. I heard that I had long hair, I was going to hell. We listened to different music, we're going to hell. We had a television in our house, we're going to hell. That's not winning anybody over. Someone's serenading us. They're being positive. Let's share the truth of the gospel. For God so loved you, he gave his only begotten Son. No matter where you are in life, because it is God by the power of his word that'll call the person to repentance. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you not know it is the goodness of God that calls a man to repentance? Isn't that what the scripture says? Share that goodness. Stop turning to the flesh and look to him. He asks these questions with a great negative. Can a day spring forth both fresh water and salt? Absolutely not. You know it can't happen. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? And also, can the grapevine bear figs? He says, neither can a salt pond actually bring forth fresh water. This is an impossibility. We of ourselves in our flesh cannot do these things. That's what he's saying. Apostle Paul would say, die to self. Jesus would say, pick up your cross and follow me. Who's the wise one? Who's the understanding one? He says, you really want to see him? By his good works, let him show his works. In other words, his faith is seen actively in wisdom, in meekness. Maybe it's not about me. Maybe it's not about my thoughts. Maybe it's about his ways, his thoughts. Maybe they're higher than mine. See, scripture says something about that. It even says something as far as the heaven is from the earth. My ways are above your ways. May we be the child of God, and may he be the Father. May we be ambassadors of this good news and represent Him and His truth. May we show the world that we are His by how we love one another. He says, let Him, by His good conduct, show His works in meekness and in wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. He says, when you're letting your own selfishness, your own desires, your own ways get in the way, God's word is not revealed. That is difficult. And this is what he's talking about in the beginning. If you're going to stand up here and preach, if you're going to teach, if you're going to do all these things, I know my wife is saying, I hope you're listening to this message, Aho. It's difficult. Of myself, I can't do it. Verse 8 says it. But in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. He says, but the wisdom from above is first pure. Seek from God. There's no ill intentions with it. He's seeking for restoration. For God so loved the world. He says, then be peaceable and be gentle. You can't do it without the wisdom from above. That's the only way in these situations that you can be peaceable, that you can be gentle. And can you imagine this in the day and age we live in? Go do this on Fox or CNN. Be reasonable. Be reasonable. Listen. Have mercy. Have good fruits. Don't always put your way. Be impartial. But most of all, don't do it out of false humility. Do it for the love of God. Be sincere. And harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We're not here to cause a war between left and right. We're not here to cause a war between people that believe one way and another. We're here to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and that alone. You can take it up with me if you want, but Apostle Paul says, I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I know nothing else. I guess to put it in a nutshell, it ain't my job to change your mind. It's the power of the Word through the Holy Spirit that will conform men to the image of Christ. I can't do it on my own, but seek from that wisdom on high and ask God by the power of His Spirit to tame this tongue. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank You for the gift of life that is found in Christ Jesus. And Father, we know in our human nature, we're pieces of work. But we know by the power of Your Spirit, through the power of repentance, we are more than conquerors. So give us the ability in the upcoming week, give us the ability to read this word, trust Your word, but also, Father, to seek You in all situations, that we could respond to the stimulus around us rather than react. Your heart is for restoration. You gave Your only begotten Son. Allow us to seek for the same. It's not about buildings. It's not about our ideas. It's not about anything else but Christ Jesus. We ask it all in His name. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift His countenance upon us. Give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.